This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Friday, March 17th. Well, we had the wheat markets lower to start out the day yesterday, but then the market started to come back off of those lows. We still ended up lower for the day, at least in Chicago and Minneapolis. Kansas City front months basically unchanged. So we started out weaker. It looked like we were going to get some momentum going to the downside, but the market found some buying pretty quickly and ended up well off of those lows. It wasn't a big trading day, but still it's showing support in a market that is trying to establish, I think, a longer-term seasonal bottom. We've got the growing season well underway in the Southern Plains, and it just is not looking that great for hard red winter wheat in the western half of the Southern and Central Plains. Outside of that region, it looks pretty decent, but that's a critical part of your growing region in the Southern and Central Plains, and they've not been able to get any rain. We're going to be seeing some serious yield reductions coming out of Texas to start, but it looks like, you know, if those rains don't come in the next couple weeks, Kansas will be on tap for that as well. Now, that said, NOAA is putting out some longer range weather forecasts. They do call for rains to come into the Western Plains. I would imagine that would stall out some upward movement unless we see those forecasts kind of not verify. They haven't so far. Last week we were talking about above normal precip in the 6 to 10 day, and that has not been brought forward into the shorter range forecast. So we'll just have to see how that plays out. But I think from where we're at and the kind of price action that we've seen over the last few weeks, it's a pretty good chance that the wheat market has found a significant bottom. You know, and even if it did start raining, it's too late for Texas. It's getting to be too late for Oklahoma. You know, you're losing a lot of production. Even with an increase in acres, you're losing a lot of yields in key growing areas. That puts some pressure on the Northern Plains, of course, where there's plenty of snow across the north in most areas of winter wheat country. But there's also a lot of snow and more coming for the Dakotas, Minnesota, eastern Montana. You know, this is spring wheat country. And if winter wheat is going to, hard red winter wheat, the higher quality wheat, is going to run into production problems, that does make it more important that we get a good spring wheat crop. And I think spring wheat is going to find itself competing with corn and soybeans here across the Northern Plains as well. Soybean production is creeping its way west and finding its way well into Montana. So there are options if spring wheat prices really aren't that great. Now, that said, with all the snow and the cold, it's going to take a lot longer to get those fields ready. And with the shorter growing season already, if producers are going to plant corn, they want to get it in the ground as soon as possible. That window is much smaller than it is in the Midwest. So if it stays cool and it takes a long time to melt away the snow and get the fields dried out, you probably won't see corn plantings increase across the north. Those are just things we'll have to see as we get into April. Those are the critical planting times. You can stretch it into May, even late May for spring wheat. That's getting late, but it can do it. Certainly not corn. So if you get some planting delays across the north, corn acres become less of a likelihood and spring wheat becomes more of a probability. So we'll see how that goes. But I think right in front of us, spring wheat is going to have to make a stand here to protect its acreage base, much like corn and soybeans are going to duke it out across the Midwest. Insurance rates, guarantees are pretty high, so it's, you know, and it still favors corn. So soybeans haven't really made much of a move. They are bouncing off some key support levels, some swing lows that have held the market for the last couple months. Maybe soybeans are going to take a stand here. I think with the production losses we're seeing in Argentina, pressure to the downside for corn and soybeans has become much less. Brazil is having a boomer crop, but I think that they're going to basically just offset what Argentina's losses are. So we look for that to kind of be a push coming out of South America, and it puts that much more pressure on the northern hemisphere. For corn, You know, again, most growing regions that would plant corn are looking at a very good moisture situation. In fact, there might be too much rain for a lot of these areas. So that could shift some acres back over to soybeans. When we look at the rest of the Northern Hemisphere, Europe looks pretty good. France Agrimer is talking about their crop conditions. For winter wheat, they're at 95% good to excellent. That's unchanged from last week. Winter barley's at 92% good to excellent, also unchanged. Spring barley plantings are at 100% complete. So they're off to a good start across at least France, and much of Europe is in pretty decent shape. In the Black Sea region, they're doing okay. They don't have a huge abundance of moisture, but they do have enough. And it's just a matter of what can Ukraine do? You know, their winter grain plantings were way down, at least, you know, by about 40-some percent. So, you know, it puts a lot of pressure to grow corn, sunflowers. If they can get in the field, that's great. But it's probably not going to see a big increase in corn plantings just because of the expense of doing it. You know, getting the fertilizer is one thing, paying for it is another. Conserving cash is critical to producers. So it's probably going to see a notable increase in sunflower plantings. And that will likely bump up their oilseed exports as well. Other news, we've got Egypt purchased some wheat yesterday, and for the first time in a long time, they did not buy it from Russia. They bought 120,000 tons of wheat from Ukraine, of all places, at $298.72 delivered. That equates to about $275 FOB offers. Those are the cheapest prices that we've seen all year. Now the question is Russia going to get a little more aggressive and meet these prices? Or are world prices going to rally a little bit to be more in line with where Russia is? Russia missed the mark by quite a bit on this Egyptian purchase. Their offers were at $321, so that's a good $22 above where Egypt purchased. So I would imagine Russia's doing some hard thinking here, trying to be more competitive. They're going to want to capture that business. It's easy sales for them, and you know, they want to be dominant. So we'll see. My guess will be a combination of the two, that Russia's offers will probably come down a bit and world prices will bump up a little bit just based on the rally that we've seen so far in the futures markets. So that's one thing to keep in mind, that if Russia does not respond, then I think world prices will elevate to where Russian prices were. And basically that's another $22 a ton, which is about 60 cents a bushel. So that's I think something to keep in mind too, that if Russia does not come down to meet this, the wheat market just on that alone could have a pretty good updraft here. So I think heading into the key part of the growing season, where you know the crop conditions are in pretty bad shape here in the United States, that's one thing that's a bullish supportive to this, at least the near term. And then with world prices, we'll see what Russia decides to do. Also, export sales have been pretty impressive these last couple weeks. Yesterday at 493,000 tons, that was within the range of estimates from 75,000 to 700,000. So somebody's not very optimistic at a pretty low number there. But again, I think that, you know, the wheat market has done a lot of work to the downside, removed any weather premium, removed any war premium. And war is certainly not fading away. So I just think you need to be careful pressing the downside and factor in some upside here. Again, rains are in the forecast. We'll see if those verify, but you need them. You need to see the rain falling before I think the market really responds. A forecast is one thing. It might stall out the market, but it's certainly not going to turn it south. Not until we see good steady rains, good soaking rains come across southwest Kansas. If that doesn't happen, then I think this market takes another leg up. Getting back to export sales, corn sales at 2.06 million tons, that was huge, well above the high end of the range of estimates from 700,000 to 1.7 million. So, I mean, the trade was even looking for big numbers, and we got them, but it was even better than that. Soybean sales at 731,000 tons. That was within the range of estimates from 1 to 900,000 tons. And getting back to corn, China has been a huge buyer of corn this week. That's going to show up in next week's sales. But so far this week, they bought 2.1 million tons this week alone. So this morning, another 191,000 were purchased. Yesterday, 641,000. And earlier in the week, they had bought a total of 1.279 million. So total so far this week, we're at 2.1 million. So your corn sales are going to be huge next year because, you know, China alone bought 2.1 million tons. So there's a lot going on here. I think corn has found its low as well. When we're looking at corn planting in the United States, you've got the Dakotas, Minnesota, northern Iowa blanketed in snow. It's going to take quite a while to get those fields unburied and dried out. So there's already talk about flooding in the northern part of the Midwest, delayed plantings. I mean, it is mid-March. A lot of things can have it. If it's a fast snow melt, then you have flooding. If it's a slow snow melt, then you avoid the flooding, but it takes a lot longer to get in the field. So we'll see. I mean, obviously anymore, you can get that crop planted quickly, but still we're looking at a ton of snow across the north and more on the way. So just some things to keep in mind. So these are reasons why I think the grain market in general has probably carved out a seasonal low, and we're going to start building some premium back into the market. With wheat, it's going to become about supply here pretty soon. Demand is pretty impressive, especially for U.S. exports, which have been really paltry. We're starting to be more competitive, and much of that is because the market has dropped the way it has. But still, we are seeing an uptick in export demand. That alone should support the market. But I think we need to build in some weather premium here for hard red winter wheat and also for spring wheat to factor in perhaps some delayed plantings and also just to protect its acreage base. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843 or 513-815-1701. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.